As we've been digging deep into Ephesians chapter 1, we see these spiritual blessings that are in Christ. And of course, these first three chapters deals with the calling of the church. And where you find a church that's called of God. Hey. You may find an organization that meets in the name of God, but where the church is, that's God called.
Right.
And of course, we saw our key verse in this book was this chapter was verse 4, where it says, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." I have no problem with the words "before the foundation of the world" being chosen in him, but what I do have got a problem is this. When people come along and say that's that and people's chosen for hell, I got a problem with that. I'm going to tell you why. Because that crowd that hollers at the loudest, there ain't nothing holy about them.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
They drink liquor. Mm-hmm. And they'll give you a verse in Proverbs about strong drink to them that are dying, you know, and say, well, you know, the Bible says that they can have it. Well, when you get cancer and you dying over in a thing, we'll bring you some beer. No morphine, you getting beer. And if you really need strong drink, we'll go. Listen, I know a couple old bootleggers up in them hills up North Carolina, up on the back side of North Carolina. If they still living, we'll hook you up. If God says it's okay for that time of your life when you lay dying in pain, that's fine. Have to get all you can get. But there's too many times this Bible says be sober.
That's right.
Qualification of pastor, sober. Deacon, sober. Christian, sober,
right.
Vigilant. Oh, listen, there's too much of that to contradict all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I see that as we look, first off, we saw the creation of this body, verse 1 down all the way to verse 14. We're going to pick up verse 15 tonight, where he starts picking up, deals with the consecration of this body and how they give themselves over to the Lord. And we pick up in verse 15, the Bible says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." I want to preach to you tonight on what other believers should say about us. When I say us, I mean you, me, Victory Baptist Church, right here. And here's, as we look at this thing tonight, we're going to look at it very in depth as we can get. And we want to see what the Word of God instructs us on and how people ought to be talking about us. They're going to be talking either way.
Yeah.
But here's what they should say, and this is what you should say about other believers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for everything that's going on. God, you've been good to us here on a Wednesday night. We're all safely here. And Lord, we're here to gather around the Word of God. Our souls come hungry tonight, and we pray, God, that you'll help us feast on every word of God.
Yes.
And Lord, we pray, God, that you'll help us to understand what you're giving us here tonight. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I pray, God, you'd help me to preach it, as your word says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And Lord, we love you, and God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. As we look in the Word of God tonight, there's some things that should be said about us by other churches. And if you'll notice, number one, first thing is in verse 15, he says here, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Listen, there ought to be somebody out there that should mention literally our faith. Our faith. Not our beautiful building, not our well-kept parking lot, not our well-kept lawn, but our faith. And by our faith, they ought to tell what we believe. I'd rather a man cuss me and spit on me and tell me what I really am than to tell me what he thinks I really am to somebody else and tell me what I want to hear to my face.
Yeah.
And they should make mention of our faith. They ought to say, you know what? That church may not be a whole lot, but they believe God. They believe God. I hear a lot of stuff about us when I'm in my undercover clothes, and I hear them say things that, you know, we check you for a King James Bible at the door, and Ben measures your hair before you come in next to his, whether they'll let you in or not. I've heard that you women really have to go around and make sure all you other women are wearing dresses. If not, we'll take you out and flog you or something. I forgot what I heard about that.
Right.
But I tell you what I have seen down here. I've seen hippies, harlots, and everything else show up in here, and God deal with them. I've seen some of you show up in that shape, and God deal with you. I've seen God get a hold of people's hearts and do something with them all because of one thing. Somebody in this building believed God was able to do it, and somebody else believed him, and God saw that thing come together and done the thing. See, there's a lot of people don't want to say this, but listen, Paul said, I heard of your faith. Before they ever see your faith, they ought to hear about it.
Yeah.
And listen, the reputation of the Christians in a church are like this. It's a most phenomenal thing because the church that shows up on Sunday morning shows up because of the popularity of the location. The church that shows up on Sunday night shows up because of me, the popularity preacher. But the church that shows up Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, they show up because they believe God.
Right.
And they believe this book. And listen, I don't want to hear how somebody brags on a special attendance day we had so many. I don't care how many you run. What do you believe?
Right.
I don't want you to listen. If we ever get to the point where we have to set out chairs, I don't want nobody to tell it. I'd rather them talk about our faith and our attendance. Because that might be another outfit split off and come down here and try to take over. We haven't run them off. You never know what might go on in a day. But I do know this. They ought to tell about our faith. They ought to say, you know what? I went down there and I looked on their missions thing and I saw they supported these missionaries. Well, their preacher obviously has to work a job if they're going to support missionaries. No, they heard of our faith. They heard of our faith. There was a repairman come down here one time, and that was the first question. He said, where do you work? I said, right here. He said, nowhere else. I said, no, right here. I said, you want every address I visit and everything? I mean, I got plenty to do. He said, well, I look at your missions program, I look at you, and I look at the size of this building. That just can't be. I said, nobody told you, did they? He said, no, told me what? I said, we believe God down here. We don't sell apple pies and pecan pies and ice cream and hot dogs and all that stuff. We just believe God's going to do what he said in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 about missions. And we give that thing and God does it. He takes care of it. And listen, that's all I know.
Right.
When I wanted to get a job, I prayed about it and God said, you already got one. You can't ask for something you already got. I said, Lord, I don't make a whole lot of money. I can't feed nobody. He said, well, maybe you ought to ask for that. Not millions, food. Mm-hmm. And apparently God done a great job. What kills them is, listen, what kills most of these people around here is that your preacher makes more money than their preacher and they run about 100 more than we do.
Wow.
You know what I call them? I say, hey, tightwad.
Yeah.
Right.
Take that band off that wallet and tithe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't understand what we're doing here. No, I do understand.
Amen.
You got to believe God.
Right.
See, when you believe God, you say, you know what? He says right there, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, hey, listen, if they heard about it, something had to have happened.
Right.
There had to be an instance where something happened, and because it happened, they saw that somebody believed Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Hold your place here and look over at Colossians chapter 1. Two books to your right. Colossians chapter 1. It wasn't just at Ephesus where they heard about it. There was other churches in other regions. Colossae over here in the book of Colossians. Paul's writing to them over here under the inspiration of God. And he says in verse number 4, he says, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, they heard about it. What did they hear about in Colossae? They heard God was doing something down there and those folks was believing God. It wasn't just God's part. God was there anyway. They were believing God. They believed God down at Colossae and they believed God over at Ephesus. And when you start believing God, you probably won't have to advertise that. God will advertise it for you. They might say all they want to. They lie all they want to. But when you believe God, God will let them know what's going on. And don't look for apologies, they ain't happening.
Right.
Go Go back over to Ephesians chapter 1. They should make mention of our faith. There should be something about it where they mention our faith. And if you look down in verse 15, he says, "Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints." Just like it said over in Colossae, love unto all the saints. They should hear of our faith. They should hear of our love. They ought to hear about it. It ought to be so obvious that they can't get around it. And when I see that he says love unto how many saints? All the saints. That's the good ones and the bad ones. That's the ones that are great to be around and those you like to see going more than you do coming. But you got to love them anyway.
Right.
Love unto all the saints. There are some people that's hard to be around. And there are people that's hard to get away from. I remember one time I left somebody in the parking lot of a church. They'd come to hear me preach. Somebody from down here, and I won't call your name, but when I left the parking lot, you stuck there to 10 o'clock. I thought, bless their hearts. Don't look at me. I didn't stay. I'd been caught like that one time. Fool me once, you know.
Come on.
Shame on you. Fool me twice. Shame on me.
Yeah.
But listen, you love everybody.
Right.
You love them. Why do you love them? Because God loved you.
Right.
And you're very unlovable. And because God loved you and he loved you and now he's inside you, now you've got the capability to love everybody because the Lord's there. And I noticed that when they hear of our love, listen to this, the devil will do anything he can in a church to make it look like people do not love everybody there. He will make other churches think that the other church don't love them. But to my knowledge, I don't know of any of you that hate anybody here. And I would be the wrong one to tell, by the way. Because if you make me mad, I'm going to tell everybody from up here and it's going to go out there and everybody will know it. Then you'll be in trouble. Then you have to say, well, I didn't really say that. And you have to start calling me a liar. Amen.
All right.
I want everybody to know you got to have love to everybody. It's hard to put up with everybody, but it ain't hard to love everybody.
Right.
I notice he points out in that verse, he said, love unto all the saints. And that's the saints that are with us and the saints that have gone on. We love them all. They're God's people. And when you have God living inside somebody else, it's not hard to love them because you know who they belong to. There'll be places you'll go in life that were just because of who you are when you walk in the door, because of who your daddy and mama was or who your older brother and sister was. When you walk in, they say, oh, you're the such and such family. Well, we expect a lot out of you. We already like you. And they start treating you like your old friends. See, when I went to school, I didn't have an older brother to go before me and cause trouble before I got there. So they liked me when I came in. They didn't know nothing about me. But there'd be others that come in, them teachers, them old mean school teachers, they'd get that old eye up here twitching, looking down at somebody, talking, I had your older brother, I don't know what you... And that kid, boy, he had to play from behind the whole way in the game. And I have seen him walk in and say, oh, honey, look at you. Oh, look at you. You just the cutest one. Come sit up here beside me at teacher's desk up here. I had your sister a few years ago, and that person be just awful. Y'all remember them people in school, the teacher said, you take notes while I'm out of the room, and whoever I put get you on that paper, they'll have to write sentences or get a paddling when they get back. And that stinking devil would write people's names on there that hadn't uttered a peep because they didn't like them. But with the case with the Lord, it ain't like that.
Right.
So he don't appoint somebody to be his name taker. I'm going to tell you what I heard the other day. This is what I heard. I heard that if you're a pastor's wife and somebody in church comes up to you telling everybody that they are a spiritual hussy and to rebuke them. Now, I ain't heard that word since I was a kid. But the more I thought about it, that dude's right.
Well,
now, he is only an older preacher. Now, if he can say it, I can say it. So don't you fall out with me too bad. But notice this. I see he said love unto all the saints. They heard about it. Look over at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. As we dig down in the Word of God, it's amazing what all we see in it. 1 John chapter 3, if you look down at verse 14. says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now think about that. I see that John over here writes about somebody over here said that he's loving, he that we know he passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Before I got saved, I didn't love the brethren. I didn't want to be around the brethren. I didn't want to attend church with the brethren. I didn't want to go to the store with the brethren. I did not want to hang out with said brethren. They didn't do what I did, and they didn't like the things I liked. They didn't go the places I went, and I didn't go the places they went because we went two different directions.
Right.
I remember when people would come to our house trying to win me the Lord, I always say, we want you to come to church Sunday. Why in the world would I do that? I mean, I didn't kick the beer cans under the couch when they come. Didn't care. Lost man. Didn't care. One of them asked me one time, said, are you saved? I said, sure am. Because I knew that's what he wanted to hear. He said, how you know you saved? I said, because I said that prayer and I got in that baptistry and he dunked me all the way in and brought me all the way up. And that stumped them. They didn't know what to say from there. Now, he said, why don't you come to church Sunday? I don't feel like it. I don't like them people down there. I didn't tell them I'll see you Sunday. No. Tell them I wouldn't see them Sunday. I was a L-O-S-T man, lost. But since I got saved, now they can't keep me out of church. If I'm out of town, we going to church.
Amen.
I've went to churches that their music program wasn't exactly like ours. But there's the closest thing in belief I could find, and I went there.
Amen.
And the preacher preached good messages. And I went to them one time on an out-of-town visit. Y'all was with us. And they asked us to leave after the service was over so they could have a business meeting. I almost had revival going out the door. I said, thank God. They won't stay for something like that. I don't even like them here. Much less out of town 4 hours one way.
Yeah.
I don't care what their business is.
Yeah.
I didn't get one of their financial statements either. I said, I don't need one.
Yeah.
It's not my business.
Right.
But what I did know is I love them people there. There's good people. I know we've been up in a... I went to a place up in Tennessee one time, went in that church to preach and found out something. There was some strange people in that church. I'm talking strange, buddy. They come up from Alabama, and they come up there with the express purpose to take a look at some of them instruments up there, and they were planning on doing some things, and they had the weirdest ideas about them. Lovable, but very strange. They had all their teeth, by the way. I mean, it was not a total washout. I mean, they was good people. They just were strange. They wasn't like us. They wasn't from around here. And I've been up north and preached, and you get up there and it's different.
Yep.
I like it when they get these guys down here say, well, that church wasn't too spiritual. Translation, they didn't shout while I preached. And then I heard my pastor say this one time, I would rather they keep shut up where I know they're listening.
Yep.
And I thought, there's something to that. And I know there's got to be a balance in between them two things, but if you go up north, they don't shout.
Right.
If they do, it's like, that's all you get. After the service, brother, God bless you. You told me things I don't think God knows, and that's just the greatest message I ever heard in my life. And I'm thinking, well, you didn't act like it just about 15 minutes ago, but if you said you got a lot, that's great. You come down here, they'll shout the house down, run the aisles while you're preaching, and hoop and holler and cut flips. And after the service, they'll barely shake your hand on the way out the door to either grab a cigarette or a racing program or something like that. And you couldn't, if you asked them where you read in the Bible, they wouldn't even know.
Come on.
But they say we're spiritual.
Yeah.
But I do know this. He says here, we know that we pass from death and life because of love of the brethren. Remember after you got saved how you may not have known as a Sunday night, Wednesday night service, but when you found out, you thought, Lord God, we do this more than once a week. I'm going. I'm in. And you got in. And now they speak of your love unto all the saints. They say about you, gosh, you just can't make that guy mad enough to leave. They say that about you. They ought to. They ought to listen. When we dedicate rooms to God, you ought to show up with your holy, what do you call them things they put on you, the The Methodists and all them wear them things and all that, the stole or whatever that thing is. You ought to show up saying, well, I'm wearing one of them. Bless me and let me bless that broom. Amen. I mean, you ought to get plugged in.
Amen.
And plug in, not by power, but by love towards the brethren. And when people leave out of this church after they visit here for a revival meeting, they say, they love somebody down there.
Amen.
They love the Lord. They love the saints. Look at verse 16. They ought to mention our faith. They ought to mention our love. And they ought to mention us in prayer. And this is a two-way street. We ought to mention them in prayer. He tells about that prayer life in verse 16. He said, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul was praying for these people. This is what he prayed for them. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Would to God that everybody prayed for us. Say, Lord, help that crowd be wise.
Yeah.
Don't pray for us $1 million. Pray for us in wisdom.
Yeah.
Don't pray for us to be the biggest church in town. Pray for us to be wise.
Right.
And he says this in revelation in the knowledge of him. Listen, if you get along far in Christianity, you're going to find out something. If you take from about Isaiah 34 over there to about Isaiah 55 over in there, and you take Job 38 all the way to Job 42, and you sit there and study them chapters right there, you'll know more about the personality of God just there than you will 4 years of seminary and 400 hours of devotional time. That we may know Him. And in Philippians, Paul makes that very statement, that I may know Him. Listen, he said the revelation of knowledge of him. A lot of folks discount the Old Testament and say, that's just laws. No, there's more revealed about the person of God in the Old Testament than there are in the New Testament. And we get here, he said, I'm going to pray for you that. Verse 18, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Hey, listen, wouldn't it be good if while you come to church, as somebody in some other church said, we got us on a prayer list, and we're going to pray for these churches down here. And oh yeah, pray for Victory Baptist Church that their eyes may be enlightened. Why? We do not know everything down here.
Right.
We're not even close. We just want to have what God gives us. And he says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. That you may know is a phrase in your Bible occurs 17 times. 17 is the number of victory. We're living in the year of victory, not the year of the rooster, by the way.
Amen.
Tell all you Chinese restaurant people that. He said that you may know this. What is the hope of his calling? Would to God, listen, there may be people sitting here, God's called you to do things, and they may be somebody God's called to the mission field, or God called to the pastorate, or something like that, and you don't even know it yet. Would to God, they'd pray that somebody would pray them fields out there, they white and harvest, pray God send forth labor, send them out of here, we'll take them.
Yeah.
Because God can. He says there, the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We are to pray for that very thing right there, because he keeps pointing out there the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Not our inheritance. His. When we think about his inheritance, listen, you are God's inheritance. You are the ones that he gave to Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that when the church raptures out of here, there's the judgment seat of Christ, and there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you read on over in Ephesians chapter 5, God is currently washing us by the water of the Word, that Jesus Christ may present us faultless before that throne. Chaste, clean. And I see here he points out about them riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He's looking to present you up there and say, look what I done with them. Not what you done, what he done with you.
Right.
And all that's going to last in heaven's what he done with you. Everything we do for us is going to die right here or be burned up in that judgment. But everything he's done is going to be there, and it's going to be there forever.
Right.
For whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And he means to do that thing through church people and through churches just like this one. I have had people tell me over the years, oh, listen, the smaller churches. And I said, what's the smaller church? They said, oh, about 400 or 500 people. I thought, we a micro church then. I went to a small church conference. They said, we're going to have a small church conference. Help you small churches out. They sent me a letter with my name on it. I figured I should show up for that thing. I got up there and 600 was the smallest church they meant. I had some of the guys I preached for and some of y'all's friends and my preacher friends was up there at the conference. They leaned over and said, You reckon we ought to leave? I said, no, I want to explain this thing. Because if I was running 500 where I live, they'd be giving us the key to the city. Because that's all we study around here is church attendance, who's got the most. Why, you'd see every businessman in town get mad if somebody said somebody 500 is a small church. They'd have to shut down First Baptist to depress them so bad. And I doubt they run that many. Am I right? I know they don't on Wednesday night.
Right.
I know they don't even open their main building up on Wednesday night. So I guess all of us are just small churches that they don't care about. But I do know this much. I see that thing about his inheritance. Listen, let me give you some street terms here. Don't be dissing on what belongs to God. This is his inheritance. You say, that's a small number, but it belongs to him.
Right.
Let me ask you something. If somebody broke in your house and they stole your smallest TV set, small one, you know the one you got sitting in front of your bathroom. Oh, I forgot. We're independent Baptists. We don't own televisions. Okay. They broke in and stole your iPhone. Or whatever kind. I don't know. Samsung or whoever. But listen. And they come in there and they took that thing from you. Why, you'd call out a gun that's bigger than your leg and you'd chase them down the street, whack them in the head, if not shoot them to get that thing back. You know why? It's not the size of the phone that counts. It's the principle of the thing that counts. Is that right? See, because if you're like most folks, once they kicked in the door, they get shot.
Yeah.
It's an automatic thing in the South. You kick the door in, we know you're the bad guy.
Yeah.
This isn't, listen, this ain't Hillary country down here.
Right.
Okay? We believe in the gun.
Amen.
Somebody asked me, he said, if y'all believe in guns, well, if y'all believe in God, why do y'all have guns? Because he said, take a sword with you when you go out somewhere. And a Smith & Wesson wasn't invented. And if it had been, he'd said, take with thou a Smith & Wesson if that had been one invented by that time.
Yep.
And I know this, God's okay with self-defense. I know that. He wants you to defend your family. I'm good with that.
Right.
But the problem lies in this. If they were to break in your house, to repair that door is $200. $200. Framing, nails, talking Dean into coming over and doing it, whole nine yards. But I want you to listen to me. That thing's so important to you, you'd shoot a man for that. Is that right? How much more does God think when the least of his children call out because somebody's trying to mess with them? His inheritance. What if you found out you had a rich uncle? Wouldn't that be grand? And instead of giving it all to the St. Jude's Children's Hospital and giving you a dollar, he decided to give them a dollar and give you the riches. And you'd say, man, that's cool. He's got $44 million. That's awesome. I am going to be sitting at the White House beside President Trump and all that bunch. I'm going to make a campaign donation where I can go in there and eat steak with the president. You had $44 million, you could afford to do that. But here's the thing. You found out, though, that after old Unc died, and you went up there at the lawyer's office, and you brought your trusty pen to sign that thing over, you found out that somebody stole all that money. Would you be mad? Oh, you'd be like Mr. Potato Head in Story. You'd pop out them good eyes and pop in them angry eyes in a second, boy. You'd say, hey, man, you stole my money. You took something belonging to me. You're more valuable to God than any millions of dollars are.
That's right.
And when people go to throwing off on you, they're messing with God's inheritance.
Right.
He points out that thing about an inheritance. And because he says that, he says in verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Don't disown God's property.
Right.
Because God has the greatness of his power to usward, he'll take care of that thing. And when I hear of a church gets broke into and they steal a PA system, or when they go out and they steal something in that church, or if they take a songbook, I don't care what it is, I pray for God to bring that thing back, make it work. Make it where it's, you know, reconcile that thing. He says in that verse, he said his greatness is his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Do you know God pays all them bills off like that? I know here a while back I heard of a church that they said, listen, they went out there and they were praying. They said, Lord, we want a new building. Our old building's getting kind of old and it's falling apart. We can barely keep up with the maintenance on it. And the strangest thing happened. That old wooden building, they had met there and served and loved God in that building. Most of them got saved and married and buried in that building and all that. And it was just a thing, you know. They said, Lord, give us a new building. About a year later, they still ain't got a new building. Lord, was you listening? Yeah, but see, it's not my time. Did you say you want a new building? They said, Lord, we want a new building. About 2 weeks later, the whole thing caught on fire, burned it up all the way to the steeple, and they had nothing left but a little old slab or something under there where they had them little, where the foundation was. God, what are we going to do? Everything's burnt. They didn't have a fireproof safe to keep all their documents in. But see, listen. They did have something going for them they forgot all about. They had an insurance policy on that building that was worth 10 times what that old rickety building was worth. You know what the insurance man showed up one day and said? He said, do y'all have y'all's policy? And they said, no, we got burned up in that building. He said, man, that's too bad. He said, good thing we got one down at the office. They began construction on a $200,000 facility. That beats that $10,000 building as in. It's about to blow over next time the wind blew.
Right.
Now listen to me. They weren't specific with God. They just wanted the new building. They didn't say, well, I'm going to suffer till we get it. We don't have to meet in everybody's living room until we get the thing. Lord, we don't have to build it ourselves because that's what we're going to have to do. Be careful what you ask God for and how you ask him because he's got the power to do anything.
Right.
I think that what I'm trying to get at is this. If you want something, be specific with God. He's a specific God.
Right.
And see, when you're praying for another church, don't be vague. Pray specifically. Matter of fact, we got our march to missions coming up, and if I was going to get a list of churches to pray for and that has missionaries going out of them, I think this would be my prayer list right here. Making mention of you in my prayers in verse 17, praying for them according to them things. I'd call out all these Baptist churches by name. I'd say, Lord, I pray for New Hope Baptist Church over there, God, that you'd enlighten their understanding. Lord, that you'd given them the spirit of wisdom and revelation of yourself, Lord. I pray, God, that you'd maybe call a preacher out of there. They may be a missionary out of there, God. Whatever it is you've got over there, I want you to do that thing, Lord, because that's you. And Lord, since they the inheritance of your people, you got the greatest of your power. If anybody does anything, then God, take care of it, because they can't. They're like us. They're weak. We can't do nothing. We're not allowed to exact revenge on people. God, you said so in your word, so we're going to trust that you're going to do that for us, and he will.
Right.
I'd say, Lord, I'd say Silica Springs Baptist Church. I'd say Skull Shoals Baptist Church over there. I'd start calling these people out by name and get a list of them and pray for them that God would do something just like he says right here. But before I ever expect them to do that for us, I guess I need to do that for them, don't I? Mm-hmm. See, people ought to mention us in their prayers. Lord, remember Victory Baptist Church. But be specific. Pray these things right here. We'll pray them for you. In fact, we ought to get something going where we have this thing and pray for people like that and pray for churches like that. Because it would only be right in the eyes of God Almighty. See, we're taking the gospel around the world. Let's not forget something. We need to take the gospel around the house too. We need to tell them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how he's still mighty to save. Because see, that greatness of his power and the working of his mighty power, it still works here. There's still things we've prayed about here, and God still does them here. And God can still do them in your life. He can do them in your church. He can do them in their church. And as soon as we get to praying, God will begin to work on them because he's already got the power to do it with. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you. God, we thank you.